Good afternoon, family. This is Straight from the Streets, your Hour of Power, and I'll be your host, the Right Reverend Dr. Jerome Lee. And we're going to have a great and wonderful show this evening. We're going to look at some community issues today and look at what we consider the problems in our community, some of the things that we need to do to love the community versus broken promises, because a lot of us can identify with broken promises, broken dreams, shattered dreams. And I think that the only way that we can pull through this together, as Dr. Amos Wilson has stated, which is a great clinical African-American psychologist, and along with the other brother, Dr. Kwanzaa Kujufu, and a few other scholars who just think that without any hesitation or any other reservation, that love can guide us to where we need to. And if you're tuning in, this is Near2X Radio, the voice of the people. That's right, Near2X Radio, the voice of the people. And if you're tuning in, you can go get a pen and a friend, and you can invite them to www.blackonblackunity.com. And again, that's blackonblackunity.com, and we're a profanity-free station. So without further ado, we're going to deal with something that I think that I've been seeing prevalent all over the world, and I did not know until this week that one of the main forces of income in society is based off of violence. And I was just blown away with that, because we see so much of it when we go to war, that's violence, but there's wars in the inner community, homes, prisons, jails, and that is the greatest profit in the American economy is through prison systems and violence, because we spend plenty of money on trying to lock away the problem, because we tried that before, giving people what we call mandatory minimum sentences, but mandatory, wasn't no minimum. So if it was 15 years, that's what you got. You didn't get the other part, like if this was your first time offense and based off of your pedigree, and that's meaning your family structure, that you would get like we can mitigate, meaning get all the facts together and base your case around your specific situation and not just broad brush it and say that everybody who does this crime get a mandatory this. So if you're doing carjacking, for example, minimum 15, they're going to sock it to you. So that's what we find out, is that it's the perpetuation of the prison machine and how American prisons profit from crime and laws and those things that help the system predicate around spending money for lawyers, judges, and all those other avenues to help the system to keep growing. So I have a solution. That's what I want to look at today. So the topic today, family, you can go ahead and pick up a pen and a friend and get on one of these devices and record it and take it back to your community. It's community love versus broken promises. And I think that sometimes if we want the societal ills, everything, some things that you can give, you can put money and direction to, and you can help with people. But if you put nothing but guns, drugs in neighborhoods, then when people act the way that they do, you should kind of not be saying, oh, you should pull yourself up by the bootstraps when it's the third hand behind that you don't see moving. Because there's none of us, like they said back in the day, none of us had planes to bring drugs in. None of us owned gun factories. So how is it that these individuals who you consider thugs, hoodlums, or whatever you want to assign titles or derivatives to, or commodities, or whatever you want to say. They don't own gun-making places. So in order to do what they do, it has to be some flaw in that system that allows people to jump over the fence, and not literally, just meaning shortcut to get whatever it is that they want. So there's always a black market in every system. And what do I mean by black market? That is the market that you can go and make top dollar from. Like if you, for example, with Box, which is the computer version of research and stuff through this machine, and it's a young guy that's about 15 years old, a millionaire who came up with some of these ideas, that you take these same Nikes that go on sale, so if he can get them for $150 and turn around and sell them to you for $350, so that's $250 profit for him. So that's what I mean by black market. And these are some of the things that, if you go back historically, listening today, and I found out that the system back during in the 1800s to the early 1900s, that people would do these false trumped up charges. And then when it came time for you to get bail, you wouldn't be able to get bail. So what you'll do is sign a promissory note. It's almost like a bondsman, but you're signing yourself to servitude, to serve him until the wages of that which you have signed, $75, that may take you 2 years to pay for it, but he's going to have you working day and night, unconditioned, you know, unbearable conditions, barely feeding you. So it's just absolutely crazy that it wasn't until 1964 that you really had lawyers advocating for rights of individuals. You had lawyers back then, but most of the time, if the judge is part of the system, and how they broke it up is that really it was America profiting from crime, doing these, you know, finding people to do slave labor and don't have to pay you anything. So again, very crazy. Very crazy, but very true, and the realities of the American system on profiting off of prisons. And 1994 was the Crime Bill Act, and that came to give what we take wait. I'm sorry, to make way for the mandatory sentences, and from that, America thought that they could profit or put people in prison, and that would be able to way to, you know, get the system straight or get us straight as a society by saying everything you do, we're going to lock you up for. But it did not work. Did not work. In practical terms, it's called prisonization. It really means that sending nonviolent criminals to prison as opposed to placing them in outside the prison program, such as drug rehabilitation, or putting them under a supervision, probation, or some increasingly odds that these inmates will offend upon their release as a result of being forced into a prison setting where reform is all but impossible, and learning a willingness to break the law is often a means to survive. And I actually agree with that statement, considering that the vast majority of these being sent to prison in the 90s have been convicted of non-violent criminal offenses, mostly drug offenses. So a lot of people were going to prison for crack, and the other person who had powder would go and get probation, And we're still suffering from a backlog of these criminal laws that need to be adjusted. We need to come to a place of a revival as a country, that you have to start caring for people. And now we have placed ourselves, it's all about me. It's the Me Too movement, I'm cool with that. But collectively together as a unit, we can do more together as a unit or unity than you can with individuality. And that's where you have the kings, the princes, the kings, and that's the monarchies, all these things. So that's perpetual family dynasties and things like that. So that doesn't bring about unity, because that says that me, my family, like the Trumps or any other family, it's all about me and my family. Forget about anybody else. It's about us. And I'm saying that the first thing you have to do is care. How do you care? You care with words. You care with actions. You care with deeds. Visit your family members that are in prison. Talk to those that are on drug addiction and kind of see what it is that they can do to be able to help mitigate going back and forth. And the only way you can do that is care. And sometimes love is not the word that I want to operatively use at this moment, because we're still in the early moments of this show. And if you're tuning in, this Straight from the Streets, Your Hour of Power. And I'll be your host, the Reverend Jerome Lee. And from this, what I see is that as a community, love is. Because you can be the worst of the worst, and it's still in your community, still love can ooze from you. Not saying that if you're going to destroy everything in the community, that then love is going to precede it, no. But I just know that God so loved the world that he gave, that if you love, it costs a price. There's no free love. You give maybe respect, but whatever you love, you give to, because that's the word called in love. In the inward stuff make you move into action. If it's on the outward, then you say, well, I'm out of love. So what did that mean? I'm out of the aspirations of being mentally, emotionally, and psychologically connected with you. So that is a very powerful adjective to be used. And what does love in a community look like? It looks like people investing in your youth, loving on your elders, and being responsible for things that happen around you, to you, for you, and about you, that you have a choice. That's what love looks like. It's not a hood, but it's a neighborhood. So that means we have neighbors. And I remember talking to one of the youth at DYRS, and they said, well, you know, I love the hood. I said, everybody that I know that live in the hood, they not trying to stay in the hood. They trying to get out. And the show called Good Time, it wasn't no good time when you had to walk 16 flights of stairs. And there are real housing projects that people were in, and it was like a war zone because the police couldn't get up in there if something happened. So it was the neighborhood policing it, but then it allowed community vantage taking. Because I know 911 is supposed to be here, but 911 ain't coming up here. And by the time that they got there, everything had left. So meaning the people, the drugs, the violence, and everything else. So that's what I mean when I say the black market around social society, as a community, as a people. And sometimes in a black market, you have a negative force to get over on people. It's not to help, it's to get over. And society as a whole, that's what they're doing now with the gas prices. Because all this time you've been telling us we're going to war and it was supposed to be about oil, if it's about the American interest, then how come all of a sudden the interest that you told us that we were spending our tax money on is not being reciprocated back in what you said that you were doing? Because it was a lie. We didn't invade Well, three, Panama City. We took that over their canal. We also took Libya. And we took from Saddam Hussein. So all these are all thriving places, or gas thriving places. So why are we not benefiting from all this war that we have? Because there's another social norm or hierarchy that feeds off of what I started my statement off, is off of violence. War is violence. And as a black people, we're in war right now. Trying to say, look at me as a human being instead of an animal. Don't shoot me first, but can you see my humanity first? And why is everything shoot to kill when you got tasers and other things? Because the face given to America is, if it's black, get back. If you're brown, stick around. And if you mellow yellow, then you okay. But those are some adjectives based off of social norms of how America looks at us. If you black, get what back? If you brown, stick around. You mellow yellow, you good gal or good fella. And that's not cool. Because in the end of the day, the Indians was here before the Caucasian was here. And how can Columbus discover something that was already here? So if you lose your wallet and I find it, did I discover you? No. So we're playing with history, and we're playing a game of dumbing down the American public. Music. And they told me that the hit was, I'm going to be here on Tuesday. I'll see your girlfriend on Tuesday. It was the stupidest song or whatever it was, but you couldn't even rock to it in the club. And you're going to tell me that that's the number one song? Then we dumbed down. We've been dumbed down. And the stuff that we really call music is not any collaborations with horns, musicians, or anything. So let everybody got to be a rapper, and everybody got to be identified as the same thing. Where when rap was first created, you needed different variants. Everybody don't have to curse. Everybody don't have to wear the same thing. Everybody don't have to have tattoos. Some people can just be different and come with a different voice, and that's what music does. It gives you a different plethora of genius. And sometimes the genius get used because the genius is being used for the gift and keep making the hits, but never look at the money, who hitting that or who grabbing that. So when you look at an unsung, the most of the groups broke up because of the money. And I've never seen anyone on unsung said, oh, my God, all these checks were so much. It just blew my mind what I made. It was like, take this raggedy deal or don't get none at all. So you're starting off dancing with the devil. And if you're tuning in to Straight from the Streets, you're our power. And we're talking about community love versus broken promises. Talking about the prison industrial complex. The perpetuation of the prison machine and how America profits from crime. The whole system is based off of replicating and giving harsh crime, harsh criminal sentences, I mean. So what is it as a people that we can do to start caring? And it's not always all about me, because if it's about all about you, then you forget what it is that got all of us here. the civil rights wasn't based off us being added as one person. It was us as a group. And everything that we have today in society, somebody died for. Let me repeat that again. Everything that you have in society, from voting to sitting in a restaurant, somebody died for. So there are unsung heroes that are placed around you all over the world who died to be able to give you the right to be on a phone, be able to be in the same state, or be able to hold your hand of some significant other, whether you are black, white, Latino, gay, lesbian. Somebody died. So all freedom is not free, because there's a price to pay. All geniuses, it just don't come. You got to learn how to do the piano. Nobody just come. Well, let me say it this way. You have the general of the rule and exception of the rule. The exception of the rule is that some people are gifted upon arrival, but it takes the brilliancy of a family or parents or community to be able to help that person be the best that they can be. You can't be a great trumpet player without a trumpet. You can't be a good basketball player without a basketball. So you have to practice. So that is what I'm just sharing today, is how do we come together to understand that caring is the first start. And then my second point is respect. I may not understand you, and I may not like you, but as Reverend Taylor said, but I do have to respect you. And he asked me the question is, what's the greatest, respect or love? I said, what did I say? I thought I said love. And he said to me, well, no. And I thought, I was like, huh? You got to be crazy. They said, God's the love of the world. He said, because everybody doesn't love the same. You got some people that will do crazy things in the name of love, but if they respect you, they would never do that. And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. If you love that person or care for that person and you respect them, you wouldn't do it. Like if you knew that President Obama, for example, was coming over your house, you're going to be on your best behavior. Why? Because you want to show that you are a respectful, dignified individual, and you don't want to look crazy. That's what respect does. It didn't say that you had to love President Obama. It said it's respect. So respect sometimes is greater than love, because you see some people that do crazy things in the name of love. Crazy things. But if they respect you, they won't. They will never do that. So that's something that you can learn. So again, what I'm just sharing today is trying to take some lessons from life and give them back to the community, where we can take and be able to help care for each other, help respect each other. And I heard somebody say this before, and I thought it was absolutely crazy, but hey, you don't know better until you talk that. You can't do that. You can't do what you don't know, and you can't be what you can't see. So this is my issue. I'm only going to respect those who respect me. I was like flabbergasted when they said that. But if you know who you are, then you're going to respect everybody. Jesus didn't tell the woman when they caught her in adultery, you no good young lady, you shouldn't be out there doing that. He didn't say that. We get shocked at sin when Jesus gets shocked at righteousness. Never seen in that Bible when they said, oh, we caught them right here. Peter didn't cut the dude's ear off with the knife. He didn't say, Peter, you are just, no, because people love their teachers like they love their family members or leaders. They're willing to lay down their life for that. And Dr. King said, if there's nothing worth dying for, then there's nothing to worth living for. And there was a situation in my previous employment where a young lady was accosted with her dad, and five guys came, and they ended up raping her. And the father did not, I don't really know what to say. He ran and left her there. He didn't run and go get the police. He ran and left her there. So it presupposes to me that it was that set up or what? I don't really know. But I know the end results were disastrous, because how do you tell a young daughter that, hey, your dad is here to protect you, and that moment came where he could have protected her or not? But it was very heartbroken for me to see that happen. And it makes you think. It makes you think. It makes you really think. And the other thing it makes you think about is, how do we respect people even though they don't respect themselves? Something to think about. How do we respect people who don't respect themselves? Well, the question is, if you love you and respect you, then you can respect the God in them just like the God in you. And when I was crazy, hooting, shooting, and looting, like every other youngin', pulling pistols on people, robbing joints, doing all of that, and God saved me, so I got to allow the process of life also to catch up with other people. So all of us don't have all the gifts. We don't have all the answers. Some stuff I ain't even qualified to touch. But in this case, I'm attempting to try to touch something that's going to take more than an hour to unravel. Because sin always takes us further than where we want to go, and it always costs more than what we can pay. Can I say it again? Sin always takes us further than where we want to go, and it always costs more than what we can pay. And I would have never known that, oh, when you were sitting there robbing them people, champ, did you know what was going to be next? Nah, I don't know. What's going to be next? Well, while you think you having fun, it's going to be your time. You're going to have to pay the piper, too. Oh, and I was having fun. Oh, my goodness. I just say 19 years old, when I look back over it, it was absolutely insanity at its best. Or worse, depending on the version of it. But when you're young and you're going through it, I didn't say grow through it. I'm going through it because I still ain't seen the lesson. I didn't even see how God was working in it. One, I know I'm supposed to be under the ground, not on top of the ground. Because the same place that I robbed, one of my friends now is a director of a place. That place now is used for helping the community. And I would have never thought in a million years, when you go back and like, wow, how could you put that together, God? You've got these people that you know. And it just clicked. And when I went to go meet them, I had my transcript, and it talked about, you know, being a terrorist at 19 years old, because in 1986, people didn't have Uzis back then. I was way ahead of myself. And to use the word terrorist, it's so lightly used now. But just imagine back in 1986, a young black man with a Uzi going to rob something. Huh? Oh, you crazy. And where did I get the weapon from? From a another individual of other hue that could take those same weapons when they were automatic weapons. They would take the semi, make it a semi-automatic and make it an automatic where it shoots. So he knew how to hit the clip and make this, you know, straight projecting thing. So, you know, but we couldn't get that. I don't know anybody in the 80s that was legally going up saying, oh, let me get an M16. So even from that perspective, and then when I go back and I look over at family, I can just see the hand of God all over me. Not all on me. I said over me. What's the difference from on and over? Over is a covering. Around, you mean it's like a fence. No, I said a covering. So it's sort of like when he told Job, do whatever you want to do, but just don't kill him. I think that may be the same way for me. Just don't kill him. Because I've never seen anybody from a robbery come outside where the police is already out there with guns pointing at you. When they go put the handcuffs on, I break. Pow. I was always fast. So just imagine being fast and scared. And I uttered the words, oh, I ain't got no gun. You can't shoot me. Did I know the law that much? No. But poverty will make what's crazy real. Let me repeat that again. Poverty will make what's crazy real. Because when you're hungry and you don't have no money, people do crazy things when they're broke. Go to third world country and you see how people, the prison system from here and there, two different things. This is heaven for prison here than over there. It's H-E-L-L. I'm sorry for no cursing, using negative language, so forgive me for that. So when you're in that negative state of thinking or that negative state of mindset, it's prevalent in people who don't have nothing to live for. If I say that you ain't nothing and I say that I'm not nothing, then that means that there's nothing worth living for. Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants somebody that's going to care. Song by the SOS band that says, tell me if you still care about me. Why? Because that's what the song was trying to suggest. Tell me. It didn't say show me. But show me is a form of caring. Whispering it is. But in this case, the song was saying, tell me, I need to hear the words. I need to hear the logios, the pneuma, the life and the breath of that word. Can it have some action behind it? Because we say it in the Christian way, faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. But works without faith is dead too, because then you're just doing a duty. It's not a service, it's a duty. What's the difference between service and duty? Glad you asked. Service is something that you render from the inward part. He said that the Greek word for servant is called diakonos, meaning that you're a waiter. So Philip, in the New Testament, and in order to be a waiter, you had to be filled with the Holy Ghost and all of that stuff. So if you don't know anything about Philip in the Bible, go back and read. But Philip was the guy that was stoned to death. And they could see the glory of the Lord as they were stoning him. There was something about his death, and Paul was behind it. So when people have so much hate and dislike and non-caring, think about all these biblical figures that you throw out that you say you like. You like reading Paul or saying, oh, Paul was on the road to Damascus. Well, let me explain what road he was on. He was a murderer. If you didn't believe in what they were believing in the law, oh, nah, we killing these Christians, man. I just can't deal with them. So God is not shocked at sin. He's shocked at righteousness. How do you redeem the righteous part of you as a man or woman or as a young man or young woman? How? By overcoming. How do you overcome? That means that you step over something that was once an obstacle in your life to propel yourself to a different thinking. Remember I said that, right? Diakonos. He was a waiter. So the attribute of being a Christian back then, the word wasn't Christian. It was called the way. I'm going to teach a little bit as we go along through this too, which I love teaching. It was called the way. That was the word Christian didn't come in until after Jesus was dead for years. So they were on their way. And Philip, while they were stoning him, he said he could see the heavens open and he could see the Spirit of God. And something about this stoning, that what people didn't know, that when you stone the individual with the rocks, whatever desire in you is being killed at the same time. You're doing like that Scooby-Doo thing. What you saying, man? Yeah. Because after you see me stone whoever in the village or in the community, and if I get caught doing the same thing, then I know that if it wasn't for the grace of mercy of God, where would I be? That's why I don't like self-righteous people that think that they uppity or snooty. I don't like all that. Because at the end of the day, you ain't no better than nobody else. All of us are children of God. I don't care if you're a king, prince. You can be a monarch or whatever. And you know what the defining part for me is, what I've understood in that family, and it took me years for this. So this is a wisdom class. If I were to call this a class, what would we be teaching? It'd be a class on wisdom. Everybody in this planet is promised one thing. Do you know what you were promised? And I say it every time that I go to a funeral, and I say it this way. I say, we are mourning for them that are in the casket, but let me just tell you, all of us that come into the world, all of us coming through this same way, whether it's through natural death, murder, car accidents, hospitals, whatever you want to say, everybody's going to meet death. Nobody escapes it in this earth realm. Nobody. You're tuning in to Straight from the Street, your hour of power. And we're talking about the community love versus broken promises. And this is a wisdom class today about caring, respect. And after the commercial break in a minute, we're going to talk about on the other side when we get to it. It's so funny how some of us think that we're better than somebody. But in reality, what is defined by better? A car? And my mentor told me this. He said, you know what's the difference from the rich and the poor? Well, after this, we're going to put a pin in it, and we're going to come back after this commercial break. So stick, lock, and stay. Your devices, call your cousin and your auntie, a pen and a friend, and give them a call, because Straight from the Street is on, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
All right, you're listening to Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. Indeed, we want to say thank you. Get the 411 on fantastic shows like we're listening to today, and we're talking about Reverend Dr. Jerome Lee. He spreads wisdom and knowledge on his show called Straight from the Streets. Also, Self Love Now with radio host Sally Ann House. And, of course, how about Minister Michael Moore delivering strong on his show called Iron Sharpens Iron. Now, you can hear these power-packed and sometimes entertaining shows right now. Get all of the latest brand-new shows every Friday right here on Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. And you can go to www.blackonblackunity.com. We're profanity free and we do it all for you 24/7. Also, we want to say thank you to Tri-State Funeral Services. Tri-State Funeral Services is one of the most professional funeral services in Washington, D.C. They pride themselves in serving families in their greatest time of need. Tri-State Funeral Services live up to their well-earned reputation of serving families with dignity, respect, and compassion. They can assist your family celebrate your loved one, no matter your religion, culture, or budget. Did we mention Tri-State Funeral Services also provide aftercare, pre-planning, and cremation? Visit them, 1505 Kenilworth Avenue, Northeast Washington, D.C., or give them a call at 202-882-1202. They serve the entire DMV. And finally, you know, every Saturday and Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, be sure to watch Politics Nation, hosted by the modern-day civil rights leader, the Honorable Reverend Dr. Al Sharpton. Reverend Sharpton is the number one civil rights leader in the world. He is the founder of the National Action Network, a civil rights organization patterned after the 1960s civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They are nonviolent, effective, committed, and very hardworking. Go online and see the local chapter in your city to become a member of the National Action Network. Go to www.nationalactionnetwork.net. Remember, no justice, no peace. At this time, we're going back to the leader on the air right now, and we're talking about our brother Reverend Dr. Jerome Lee on his show Straight from the Streets.
Thank you, Sister Nia2X. And we thank Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people, for giving this platform today about this wisdom class. Because what we need in our communities is not just leaders, but we need leadership. What's the difference, Rev? I'm glad you asked me. Leaders can lead you right to jail, but leadership will take you to the place where you can be the best that you can be. I've never met anybody in prison said that I was the best negative person that I can be and was proud of it. Nobody likes to be called out for being the worst because everybody likes a winner. Everybody. We love leadership that takes us to a place. National Action Network, you're going to a destination. What is the destination? It's a place where we're trying to give resolve to find freedom, justice, and inequality for everybody, not for select people, but for all people. That's leadership. And when you have leadership, it's not based off of one person. It's based off of individuals wrapped around the idea that mama may say it, daddy may say it, auntie may say it. But when you fall, everybody was saying the same thing. That's what leadership does. We need to stop trying to, if T.I. don't say it or Lil Wayne don't say it, that don't mean that what they say is the truth. Because
we've been having entertainers before the world was even created that we know. So do you want to be entertained or you want to be educated? Well, W.E. Du Bois said it this way. It's the miseducation of the Negro. Not any other word, but that. Miseducation. Leadership. And I want to be in a place where the leadership have a higher consciousness of ancient wisdom, because you can't know about the future unless you know about your past. Come on, family. You can't be the best that you can be unless you know your family history. If you know that you came from a history of those that have on substance abuse, then know that that's in your DNA. So that may be something that you may have to address and deal as you begin to grow and matriculate in time and in stature and in wisdom. Did you hear what I just said? In time, stature, and wisdom. That's a process. Knowledge comes from books. Wisdom comes from God. So what are you saying? I'm saying that leadership should make you become somewhat different, that you're willing to share everything for the good of all. And you probably say, well, that's so hypocritical, because what we've been taught is all about me. I just got to be me. Well, let me just tell you, you're talking to someone that I give probably more than what I get. I done bought a true story. My most expensive tennis shoes I don't wear. I probably end up giving them away, but I give away a lot of stuff. I don't give you my stuff that's all torn up and ripped up. No, I'm going to give it to you fresh out the box and brand new. I'm not going to give you the stuff that, oh, it got a rip in it, so I'm going to give it to you. No. I don't play them games. If I'm going to wear it, then you just as wonderfully created and gifted as I am, and I want you to feel like how I feel when I got it on. And if you don't have it, then it's my job to find out how we can get these resources to make you be the best that you can be. That's what leadership does. I'm not in a self-service. Jesus said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Now, what's the difference? I'm glad you asked. Being served, meaning that you want the diakonos to work for you. You want the waiters. That's the Greek word for waiters. You want the people to wait on you. No, I came to serve. You don't hear me on here talking about, the money has come. The money can't come unless you work. The number don't hit you. I mean, you don't hit the number hits you. Glad that you asked me how. Love to talk about examples. Beautiful. Straight from the street, your hour of power. And we're talking about this wisdom class today on community, love, and also how do we break these bad habits and broken promises that even if they lied to you, can I tell you what? You have a choice out of it. I didn't come from a great and wonderful family where there's Dr. So-and-so and he has a, no, I came from, oh, they got a high school diploma. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all. But am I supposed to be shameful? Oh, heck no, you can't. No. Because all of us come to the world empty, as an empty vessel, and it's up for us to find our way through. I had to go to jail to find my Yale or Howard or Harvard. You can go back and repeat that again. I had to go to jail to find my Harvard, Yale, Howard, Morehouse, FAMU, in jail. But I found UDC, education. I found God. I found some of the greatest Christian brothers that you ever want to meet in prison. In prison. Brother who was in jail that when I first gave my life in 1987, he wasn't coming home. Just got a murder charge. But he had a peace on him that it's like that a red glow when they talk about that anointing or whatever. It was just on him. And
maybe this show is helping me realize what greatness is sometimes, because you can be around it and be it and forget what it is that you are. So when I say a genius, well, is that far-fetched? I don't know. I don't think so. Why? Because it says that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. God does great things in broken people, broken women, broken men. He does miracles. How does Allah find the greatest servant? He finds them among his people. He finds it among his people. He didn't go up to the 401k group. He went to the hood and found this one, Minnesota Avenue Project, the Negro that was a stick-up artist. I'm going to do something great with you. What you going to do? Well, the way you going, I think that you're going to have your good seat. And I had to sit in stupidity. Let me hear that. Let me say that again. I sat in stupidity. What is stupidity? Dumb. Doing the same thing over expecting different results. And I talked about disability. Some people have to be the advocate for those who don't have what I call all the literal senses, meaning that all the brain cells. Some of us just don't come with it. And some of the gifted, talented individuals that you know about and hear about with gifts from music to everything, they're peculiar different people. There's individuals who, one, it's a different, I'm alluding from this, but I'll have to come up with the name, but he fell and hit his head. Not everybody get this, but he ended up coming back learning how to play the piano that he never played before. That's the exception of the rule. But that's what God does. He does exception of the rule. Every person was healed different in the Bible. Jesus spit in clay on some, told the other one, go down and bathe yourself. Told the other one, get in the water. And the man that sat 38 years at the well, you know what his issue was? He kept giving Jesus history. Well, you know, I've been sitting out here for 38 years, and, you know, when the water's there, and, you know, there's nobody to put me in. And Jesus has said, do you want to be well? That's the only question. Yeah, I probably would have been like that man, you know, because I sometimes I need to be put on point. So I might be a little LC. What's that, Brad? Legally crazy or LS, legally slow. Or LD, legally dumb, depending on where you catch me at. But somehow God meets that need, even in the moments of insanity. I was going to the storage place. I may have shared this story before. And I was ready to fight the people, not literally, but, you know, I'm mad they didn't took my stuff from 218 to 311 and didn't even give me a 30-day notice. They just tossed the stuff up in the air and, like, take it. You're going to take it. Go there to put the lock on the thing. Remember how I told you how God uses plain people to do extraordinary things? And Mr. Leon told me this. He said, good things come to those who wait. I said, yeah. I said, yeah, they do, man. They do. He said, who told you that? I said, but that's what they say. He said, nah, good things don't come to those who wait. He said, but they do. But let me, I said, but you got to explain to me because you, I don't know what you're saying. He said, good things come to those who wait, but if you sleep on arrival, you'll miss it. I said, break it down. He said, like, whatever we talking about now, like what I'm telling y'all on this radio station, if you miss it, we may not never come back to this again. But if your third eye receives it, then you'll bring it in there or record it. And that's so good things do come to those who wait, but you can't be sleep on arrival to get it. There's a promise with my name on it. If I could just tell you all the stuff that I'm going through just to be in the land of the living, just to survive like everybody else. It's hard. Sometimes you think that the government should be with all the taxpaying citizens, the government ain't. It just ain't. Some of the people that's working there is almost what it's a song. I think it's by the main ingredients or the or it's called Everybody Plays the Fool or the Fifth Dimension. And it says there's no exceptions to the rule. Sometimes we've been dumbed down so much that we forget how great we are, how great you are, how great that I am. And the psalmist said like this, how great thou art. So if you are a child of the Most High, then you have greatness in you. Jesus said greater works that you should do. Yeah, you should be able to do greater works. In this dispensation time, you should be able to take whatever that I'm saying, put it in your lingo and make it work. Because wisdom is better than money. Yeah. I know. But let me substantiate that, family. There are people who play, there are athletes that make more money than what you could ever dream of. Mike Tyson, $300 million. But somebody took the money. Mismanagement. It said that most of the athletes in the NBA and NBA will be broke 5 years after playing football or basketball. And I remember the Latrell Sprewell, they wanted to sign him to a 7-year max deal for $7 million a year, so $21 million. You know what he told the people? My family can't eat off that. What would you think that he would do to add that $21 million now or then? So the Bible said, don't think highly of yourself than you ought to. Youth doesn't last forever. NBA doesn't last forever. And most of those, what I'm saying to you is that money cometh, but the wisdom stays. Money cometh, the wisdom stays. Education is conferred upon you because that's what you pay for college tuition. So the school confers upon you. UDC conferred the associates, the master's, the bachelor's upon you. Other place conferred the doctorate degree, but that's conferred by man. And who's to say that Yale degree is better than the Harvard degree? Well, somebody tricked us and told us that that's considered Ivy League. But if you don't perform in the duties of that, of the articulate person that one that they told you that this is supposed to do, then it doesn't mean anything. It's just the piece of paper. It's the individual who makes the paper great and wonderful. Howard not running for president, but, you know, Kamala Harris ran for it, and that's a student from there, so it's the individual. But as a collective, we are looked at as a unit. So this class today on wisdom, community, love, and broken promises, we probably would have to do a 2 to this because the wisdom behind this is this. Oh, with man, all things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And what does that mean? Glad you asked. That means that sometimes man can't hold up to the bargain of what he said that he was going to do. But God has a way of showing up and showing out in a circumstances where man could never do. Who would have said that almost 30-something years later, the same place that I robbed, that the friend of mine would be the director of the program over. Mind-boggling. But remember I said, good things come to those who wait. If you sleep on a rival, you'll miss it. I did. I said, you know what I should have did? I should have took a picture out there. So as I conclude today, I just want to say thank you to God. Thank you for the magnificent radio station of Nia 2X, the voice of the people. And I thank you for the great, outstanding people who share this microphone day in and day out to make the audience feel loved, special, and great. So from my heart to God's lips, may that the information shared today have enlightened you, have moved you to a place where you can feel better,
love better, feel these four things. Care for, respect, love, and honor. That's what we as a station try to achieve, is to get your respect, to understand that information is power. And it's power when you use it to make your community better, make your family better, and make your place of worship better with you and God. Because when you and God do a miracle, nobody can get in the way. So from that, I'm coming straight off the street to get in the street so I can catch up with you next week so we can be straight in the street. So I love you, family, and I love you, community. So until we meet again, thank you, bless you, and may you have a wonderful, blessed Mother's Day. Peace and blessing, family. Bye-bye.